Walls behind you, but there, Brother Tim, there's a lot of people here. That's a blessing, ain't it? It's good to see each of you, and I'm thankful that you're here, and been praying for you, been praying for the service, and just wanting the Lord to be magnified and whatever He wants to happen to take place. I know we have different things on our hearts and minds and facing different things, and I just want to be encouraging this morning. I really do. I looked at several different passages this week and yesterday and studied and didn't get really kind of confirmation until this morning, but I'm thankful for confirmation. Walking through the door not confirmed is a hard thing to do, Brother Curtis. That's a bit a little nerve-wracking, you know, all these people looking at you expecting something, but always want the Lord to be magnified and want Him to have His way. How many of you could use a vacation? Anybody? I mean, you raise your hand on this one. I want involvement this morning. I was hoping there'd be a lot of hands raising up. That we're in our busy time at work and kind of going through that, been a little sickly around the house and that kind of thing there, and that kind of adds to it, I guess. But me and Brandy were just kind of joking around some, I guess maybe a few times this week, just saying, boy, I sure could use a vacation, you know, just kind of thinking about that. And Vacation Bible School is coming up for those who would like to attend. That's the first thing. But after that, maybe, Sister Karen had to put that in there. But after that, maybe a real vacation. You know, I thought a lot about that. When you're real busy and your mind's kind of swirling with things, maybe at work or just things going on, you know, we all have personal lives, home lives, community life, work life, retired life, what have you, different things we got going on. And I was thinking about how nice a vacation would be. So what I want you to do with me, if you will, is close your eyes with me for just a minute. We're going to have an exercise. I know some people like an exercise, but I want you to do this with me for just a second. Just close your eyes. And what I was thinking about this morning and just kind of thinking about a vacation is what it would be like to be at the beach. I know some people like the beach. Some people don't. Some people are already swatting at the gnats and saying it's too hot. But just keep walking with me. Just keep walking with me. You know, you got everything together and you're walking down to your spot there at the beach. And guess what? The chairs are already set up. Somebody's already set the chairs up for you. That's already been taken care of. I like an umbrella. If you want one, you can have one. If you don't, you don't have to have it. Let's say that for me, I want another umbrella. I don't want to be sunburned. But you got that all set up. You walk there, and guess what? You get there, and your name's already on it. Nobody's taking it from you. It's right there. You can hear the waves crashing. You can feel the wind blowing. You can even smell the sunscreen. I like how that is at the beach. You can feel that, and it's not too hot. It's not too cold. You find your seat there at the beach where you're sitting, and you're just sitting there listening to the waves come in and come out. Is that good? Are you still with me? Amen. Did you fall asleep? Anybody still with me? You can open your eyes now. But was that kind of a good place to be? It was for me. Amen. We're losing them. People are walking out. People are walking out. We're heading to the beach. We're getting service is over. We're heading out. Heading out to the ocean. But I tell you, I had a lot of enjoyment in that, Brother Norman. I mean, just being able to kind of just take that and relax. You know, our lives are real busy. This kind of goes right along with Sunday school. Our lives are real busy, got a lot of things going on. And even on top of that, we've got hard things going on. Maybe, you know, medical things and health things and what have you. But I wanted to open with that this morning because the Bible is like that. I shared a verse this week that I think that a lot of people could take advantage of. It is that it's Isaiah 26:3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know, with everything we have going on in our lives, everything around us, it's easy to have our focus on that. And one of the things that was said in Sunday school that I really appreciated too is how we need to interact with our children and how we need to interact with other people about what it's like to be a Christian. And what I mean by that, if there's something you have done many, many times, it would probably be easy for you to say, this is all you have to do. Just do this. You've probably heard it said many, many times, just trust the Lord with it. Sometimes things get on our minds and hearts so much, it's really hard to do that. But I'm thankful for those who are very good teachers. And a very good teacher is somebody who is patient, long-suffering, and can walk you through a process and not get frustrated with you. That's what a good teacher is. Part of what a good teacher is, if somebody says, well, all you have to do is this, and quickly says something and turns away, you're really in no better help than what you were when you started. You're just not. But when somebody can break it down bit by bit for you, slowly, because they've been there and they've done it several times, it changes everything. It helps instill confidence in you. It helps you instill confidence in whatever it is that you're working on, that, you know what, hey, maybe I can do this too. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can learn this and be able to adapt to this. But when somebody seems impatient and just says, do it, then you're just like, I don't know if I'll ever get that or not. You know, we could approach the Bible that way, and it could kind of look like that when we're facing things. But the reason I wanted to go through that vacation example with you this morning is because a lot of what we're doing, we're physically here. But a lot of what we're doing when it comes to the Bible is we're doing this internally in our minds and in our hearts. And there's so many examples in the Bible that the Lord has given to us that we can take and we can use as those examples, that we can slow down and say, hey, this other person in the Bible went through this, and this is the conclusion they came to, and so maybe I can take their advice and do that too. I really want us to focus on this morning. If you will, let's turn to Job chapter number 42. Job chapter number 42, and I just want to look at those first six verses. I thought it was very nice, and I was thinking either I was looking at Brother Mike's notes or he was looking at mine, but this really does go right along with Sunday school. You know, David in the Bible went through a lot of things, experienced a lot of things with the Lord. Well, so did Job. So have many of you here. Brandy and I have spoken many times, being a pastor and pastor's wife, we hear of things that people are going through, and sometimes we can identify with those things and sometimes we can't. I always want to be a help and try to encourage and pray and be there for people, but some things we've not experienced, and I can only say thank the Lord for that. There's some people that experience some very, very hard things. And you'll see that example here with Job. And I think that's why his example is cataloged for us, is it was so harsh and so bad that probably most people can't really identify with Job. And I don't think any of us would really want to. We use his name a lot and his example a lot. But I want to share this with you because this is Job's way of dealing with things that was very hard in his life. Catastrophic. He lost everything. He lost everything. Some of us may have had financial issues and situations or hardships there, or maybe medical situations, family situations, many different things. But I think if we'd slow down and see what the Bible has to say about it right here, you'll find that the Lord has help for every single one of us. There's not a case here today that God can't handle. Know that. Now, I just want us to really be thinking on that this morning. I'm going to read these first six verses and then we'll get right into it today. And it says here, Job 42, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, just thank you so much for everyone that's been able to be out with us here today. Lord, we appreciate them. We always want our church family and those who attend with us to know how much we appreciate them and so happy to see them from week to week, God, and just when you allow us to be here together. Lord, I just pray that you take this message, Lord, and give it to the church, Lord, the way that you've given it to me. Lord, I just thank you so much for all the wonderful things that you've done in my life. Lord, I know there's been ups and downs and hardships from time to time, Lord, but I'm so thankful that you're still the same God, and no matter what, you're always wonderful. You're always precious, God, and even in the hardest of times, if we're willing to turn to you, you make yourself so real to us, God, that we can feel you, we can see you, and we can feel your presence, God, and I just pray for those this morning that are going through situations, Lord, we don't even know about, things we don't know and hadn't heard about or even know about, God, but we know you know all things.
Lord, we know you can help us, God. Lord, help us from your word here today. Those that are lost, be with them, Lord. God, I pray for your convicting power to be upon their hearts also, God. Help us, Lord, in all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For just a few minutes, I just want to preach on the topic of too wonderful. Too wonderful. That's one of the conclusions that Job came to here when he was really dealing with things in his life and the conclusion he came to. And it's a conclusion that we can come to and learn through Job. Now, it is so different if you are hearing somebody. I give you the illustration this morning. Maybe some were more successful with the illustration than others. Maybe your mind was preoccupied on things or what have you. But it's one thing to hear of something and it's another thing to go through it yourself. When I was thinking about my illustration, I could hear the ocean, I could feel the breeze, I could smell the way that the ocean smells, the salt, the sunscreen, all those things. It's something that I have experienced. You see, there's many things that some of us have not experienced, and when you hear it, you can only take it so far. But see, Job here gives us a very strong illustration in this book. I'm not going to go through all of it, but I will give you some homework if you want to compare things out about your situation maybe that you're going through. And I'm not downplaying your situation, but go back about 5 or 6 chapters and read up to this chapter here to see where Job was at and how he got here. I think most people are probably pretty familiar with it, and there's a lot of discourses. You had his friends that were going back and forth with him and saying things. They were trying to identify his problem and why he was deserving of his sin or of his situation. Not his sin, but his situation. They were trying to find the sin. They're saying, surely you've sinned. Surely you're deserving of this, even though the book starts out and says that he was one of the most righteous men in that area of that time. I want us to know that all the situations we go through in life are not dependent upon just because we've done something bad and God's trying to punish us. Good things do happen, or bad things do happen to good people, and good things do happen to bad people. I think we all can attest to that and see that. But we're going to look at some things here this morning about that what Job said was too wonderful. I want us to be able to think about those things in our mind, because our minds really need to be stayed on the Lord. That word stayed means to be fixed and settled on Him. When things are going good, it's easy to think things are okay, and it's easy to think, boy, the Lord's being good to me. And if we're not careful what we're going to think in our minds, it's because I must be living right. I must be doing right. So things are all well in the world, and so if I'm doing right and things are right and things are going good, we want to stay on that plane. We want to stay on that playing field right there. But you know, I know people who are living right and doing right, and they're going through a hard time anyway. How do you rectify that? How do you make that okay? What's the answer for that? You know, sometimes the Lord allows us to really go through things so we can get closer to Him. You say, man, that's a hard way to do that. It is. It's not easy. But the Lord has to get our attention in some way. And you know, we have that deciding factor if we're going to walk to Him or walk away from Him. I've thought a lot about that in the last couple of weeks. Are we a fair-weather friend to the Lord? As long as things are seemingly going our way, we're going to give Him praise and honor. And if it's not, do we step away? Well, I want to encourage you this morning to stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay faithful to the house of God. I'm telling you, you want to get in a mess, you start walking away from church, and you start trying to run things on your own, and you're going to run into a mess very, very quickly. Don't let our circumstances dictate our state with the Lord. I tell you, when things are going hard, some of the hardest times of my life, I felt His presence the closest. That was the time the Lord was trying to show me something and teach me something. One thing I know about myself, if I get invested into something, I'm awful bad to put my heart into it. If there's something I really want to do or I really want to be good at, my heart has a way of getting into it, and all of a sudden, you know what? I absolutely care about it. Boy, I tell you, it's kind of hard sometimes in this life, sometimes to put your heart into anything because you're afraid it's going to get broke. But that's, the Lord knows what you got your heart into. Those things you care about, that's how the Lord teaches us and trains us. It's because we have that ability to care about things. And He knows what we care about. And He uses those things to teach us. And again, Isaiah, I want to read this verse one more time. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." All the things that's going on, Job had gone through the strongest, the worst storm of his life, probably one of the worst that's ever been recorded. But you know, he had the opportunity to have his mind on something else, or to have his mind stayed on the Lord, and I believe he kept it stayed on the Lord. Now, he's not perfect. Job was not perfect. We know that, and we understand that. When you come through, and Job was going back and forth with his friends, and we do that a lot. I've done that a lot. Friends and family, you sit there and you talk and you try to figure a situation out. Surely this is the inner workings of this. And you know what they were actually doing for the most part of the book of Job, that first part? They're questioning God. They're trying to figure out why God was doing this. Why God? Why God? Why God? You know, times in my life, especially before going through some things, that was probably the first question I started asking. God, why is this happening? Why is this happening now? Why is this happening to me? Then I started examining myself and thinking, well, you know, maybe it's because of this. Maybe I'm deserving of this, and maybe I'm not deserving of this. You know, people go through phases of things. I'm not perfect. I'm not deserving. So whatever comes my way, I'm deserving of it. Then after that, well, I don't deserve that. And you kind of go through waves. Job and his friends, that's exactly what they were doing. They were going through these waves constantly, trying to figure out. But you know what happens here at the last, when the Lord really starts dealing with Job, the words that came to my mind is called Job out and said, hey, he called him from the whirlwind. You know how impressive that would be if the Lord was to deal with you that way, if to deal with me that way? Not the still small voice, but outside of the whirlwind, that would capture every attention here. Think about the hurricanes, tornadoes, and all those things that we see in the news and we get fascinated by it. Imagine the Lord speaking to you directly out of one of those things, just like that. He caught Job's attention. He really humbled Job, and he started talking to Job, and he named out all these things. Where were you when I framed the earth? How is the earth framed? Do you ever even think about that? I think, you know, up and down, left to right. Well, where is this earth framed? What holds it up? Is there a frame underneath this earth that holds it up? You can't see it. The videos and pictures I've seen from NASA doesn't show a frame. Where is the frame at the top, or is the frame at the bottom? The very first question that God asked Job couldn't even answer that question, let alone have a dialogue with him. But what was Job thinking about when the Lord, what was his response when the Lord asked him these questions? That's what we see here in chapter 42, these first six verses, and it says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." He's saying, "Lord, I know you can do everything." He's not saying that from, at this point, from a perspective of, well, I think you can, I hope you can. He's saying, I know you can. He's been through enough hardship in his life, enough pain, physical pain, day in and day out. I don't know exactly how long he endured this, but day in and day out, that's all he could think about. Why? And he wasn't going to get an answer to why. But the answer wasn't into the why. He had to get to the who. He's talking about God. He was talking directly to God here. So what he says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He got to a place, all those things that he was thinking about, he now realized and understood. You know what? God heard every single one of those thoughts. Every single one of them, Brother Allen. All the questions, all the pain, all the hurt. God watched that and knew every bit of what was going on in his life. None of that escaped him. If you remember, he okayed it. He allowed Satan to have his way with his life, except for just to spare his life. Boy, I would not want to fall under those conditions. But the Lord was right here with Job under all of these things. And it says here that no thought, all these thoughts. So if God was trying to work with Job and get Job to a certain place in his life to see who he was, do you think God was capable of doing that? Job is thinking this at this moment. I've got to turn him to think this way. You know, that's how our minds work. We might think, if we're not saying something audibly, nobody else knows about it, but you know, the Lord knows everything we think.
Every fear that we have, every hurdle that we think we have to overcome, every question that we have of God, every thought that maybe God can't do this, you know, He knows that, He hears that. Is that not amazing? Many times in my life, I've asked the Lord, Lord, please forgive me for thinking that. Please, I recant that. Please, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have thought that. But He knows we have a human body and a human mind, and He knows that we're down here, we're the creation, we're the creature. He's the creator, and all through Job, you see how the creature was questioning the creator. It does not work that way. I want to tell you this morning also, to go ahead and get this out of the way. You and I will never fully know the mind of God. Did you know that? We don't see all those things that He sees. We don't know all of those things that He knows. There's no way for us to do that. No way for us to do that. We're not like Him in that way. We don't have that capability. And you know, Job finally got to this place. He wasted a lot of time back and forth, and what he should have been focusing on is simply who God is. If we really get a picture of who He is, I think that should increase our trust level and our faith level and our confidence level in Him. Goes right along with our Sunday school. But again, nothing could be withholding from God. All of our thoughts. Verse number 3 goes right along with that. It says, and who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? There's not this sidebar conversation that we have with ourselves that God is not privy to. He knows. He knows where our faith truly lies. He knows if there's something in here that leads to something in here that says, Lord, I just don't fully trust you. Lord, I just don't fully think that you can help me through this situation. He knows that, and he's got a way of saying, well, if that's the hang-up, then I'm going to allow these things to happen to turn you back to me. You see, the goal here is not to see how far he can push a person or how mean he can be to a person. It's so you can see how powerful he truly is. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God has that capability? That's what he wants from us. He wants and desires to have a relationship with us, not kind of plug in and plug out. One of my favorite times at home, and I know Josh isn't here with us this morning, but one of my favorite times at the house, especially now, is Josh is working, he's in and out and all these things. I don't see him that much, but one of my favorite times at home is when he comes down unannounced and he sits with me and Brandy and just starts talking to us. I don't even care what he wants to talk about. We'll talk about anything as long as he's going to sit there and talk to me. I want that fellowship. I desire that fellowship. As time goes on, he's looking at getting married and moving away, and I don't know what that's going to be like. He's not going to be right there with us, you know, but I know we're going to value all the time that we can be together. See, God's the same way. God, our Father's that same way. He wants to have that time with us, that fellowship. He wants us to trust Him and talk to Him, bring these things to Him. And I like how it goes on here, verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Isn't that something to think about? We try to envision what it'd be like to be on vacation this morning. I use that as a time just to kind of relax or what have you. But you imagine that God in heaven has things that are too wonderful for us to even comprehend this morning. That blesses me. The hardship that you're going through, the trial that you're already in, or the trial that you're coming out of, or the trial you're right smack dab in the middle of, the thoughts that God has for us is just too wonderful, too wonderful. It's amazing to think that. He thinks those things about us. He realizes that we do not have all the information, but God does. If you look at Psalms, you don't have to turn there. I just want to read one verse, but Psalm 139 talks about four things. It talks about God's knowledge, His presence, His power, and His holiness. And I like Psalms 139:6. It says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain unto it. That's David talking there. You got two people already in the Bible saying it's just too wonderful. You look at David and all that again is cataloged in his life. You look here what it says about Job and all that was cataloged in his life. All they went through, and you know what? They came to the same conclusion, that God's knowledge is just too wonderful to comprehend. That should be a blessing to you and I. That should mean something to you and me. The child of God this morning, that should mean something to us. That should be encouraging to us. You know, the Lord has thoughts to prosper us. I find a lot of confidence and a lot of solace in this here with Job. When Job went through the breaking down process in his life, God did not intend for him to stay in a broken down state. He wanted him to be restored. But he wanted him to be restored with the information of who he is, who God is. Isn't that something? You know, you might think that you're going through, you may be going through something very devastating, but I believe with all my heart God is trying to build you into something. The people that I see in life that have had the hardest circumstances usually have the strongest relationship with God, or can have the strongest relationship with him, because they've seen him work firsthand. They've seen what it's like. They know what he's like. They know the grace. Isn't it amazing sometimes when you're going through something extremely hard and all of a sudden just peace just comes over you? Where does that come from? How does that even happen? People look around you, the world looks at you like, how is this person not falling apart? Because they have the presence of God in their life. Changes things.
The devil wants us to feel alone. He wants us to feel isolated, but I tell you what, if you have the presence of God in your life, you're never alone. How many times the Bible teach that and show us that? You're not alone. He's there with you. Things that's too wonderful for me that I knew not. Psalms 139, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I can't even get up there. It's wonderful. That means to excite wonder and admiration. Exciting, surprise, and astonishing. Boy, I tell you, I like having something to look forward to, don't you? Looking forward to that vacation. I don't know. I'm going to catch a ride with Brother Norman. I guess we got a bus somewhere. I like having something to look forward to, but you know, when you're right in the middle of it and you think, if I can just get through this week, just thinking about the way things are busy at work, we have to say, if we can just get through the summer, things will calm down. You know, if you kind of have that end in sight, I don't think Job necessarily had an end in sight. I don't necessarily think today, maybe whatever you're going through, that you might have an end in sight. But you know what the Bible says? You can go ahead and have peace with the Lord right now. How can you have peace with him? That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. When all this stuff is going on, we're supposed to slow down, stop, and remember how wonderful the Lord is. That's what I'm telling you this morning. That's what the Word of God is telling you this morning. That's what David said in Psalms. That's what Job is saying here after everything he went through. To keep your mind stayed on the Lord. I like having something to look forward to. Also, one of the things here, I know how our minds are. 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." We can't see as clear as we want to. Very, very often, probably one of my number one prayers is, if I'm making a decision, is, Lord, make it plain. Make it clear. So I don't mess this up. So the human element don't come in and mess something up. Lord, make it plain. Just go ahead and do it. That way, when it's done, I'll know you did it and I didn't mess it up. The Lord has a way of making it plain. For we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now in part, but then shall I even also, as also, know as I am known, is what he's saying in 1 Corinthians. We see God face to face. That's very interesting to see this here, because what I see as we come down, the way Job speaks here is, "Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare unto me." He's saying here that he's going to be clear. Job is now clear on God's full authority. He's no longer questioning God. He's just saying, "Lord, I'm with you. Whatever you do, whatever you decide to do with me, you're the creator, I'm the creature, and whatever you say goes, Lord, I see that now." Verse number 5, it says, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." See, that's, for some people, that's enough. For some people, that'll work. Growing up, I have to say, probably for me, that wasn't the case. Somebody could say, I would not do this, because if you do this, this is going to happen. And there's times in my life I was like, well, that's what happened to you. Maybe you weren't smart enough to get away with it, but I want to give it a try. I mean, that's how human nature is. But you see here what he's saying. He has heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. He's heard of things. He's heard about God. He's heard about the marvelous things that God has done in other people's life, but now he's got a front row seat. Isn't that a strange verse to say there, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Look at all he saw during this time and what he went through. It wasn't a joyous time. Everything he experienced was a hard time. He was hit basically every single way, financially, physically, lost his family, just about everything that you can think a person can go through, Job went through. And now he's saying he can see how wonderful that God is. Isn't that amazing? How the Lord can use something like that. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I'm going to close with verse number 6 here. It says, wherefore I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's some very strong language. That word abhor, that means strong hate and what have you. I looked up different definitions of the word, but it also means to cast off and to reject. Most often, when we try to figure out things in our life, we try to figure out things from our perspective, from our point of view, as that center point. What's going to work best for me? What's the best for me? What can I do to get the most out of this life? But you see, that's not how God sees it. He wants you to see that he is the center of our life. He's the center. He's the main focal point. Not our problems, not us, not ourselves, what we're going through, but he is the focus point. He's the focal point of our life. You know what it is here, when Job finally placed himself beside God, he said, I abhor myself. I see how wonderful you are. I see how magnificent you are. I see how you can do things and how you've done things. And he said, I hate myself. I abhor myself. I'm casting myself off and I repent. And he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I see how strong and powerful you are. Have you ever gotten to a place like that in your life? I'm going to say this and I'm going to invite the ladies to come to the piano. One of the things that really came to my mind is said, after the greatest trial in Job's life, he had the greatest moment of clarity. Isn't that something? Hardest thing he'd ever faced in his life. But you know, he was a just and an upright man. He sacrificed for his family. He wasn't somebody that didn't know God, and God put him through this trial so he would be obedient to him or make sacrifices to him or be faithful to him. Job was already doing those things. He was already there. But look what his relationship was, even as an upright and just man, and then what it was after he experienced all these things with God, all the trials and things he experienced in his life. That was his greatest moment of clarity. He found out and he realized that God was just too wonderful for him to understand. If you will stand with me this morning, I'll invite the ladies to come. We'll have a song of invitation.